Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know and we proclaim with our lives as the Heart of Christ Church that God has given us three commands. And in those commands, the entirety of the scripture is summed up from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. For the Lord himself said that these first two commands that are given to us wrap up all of the scriptures, all of the prophets, everything that has been given to us. And then he told us to go, that we are to go loving God and loving others. And in that we find our reality. To all of you folks out there on internet land, we welcome you and we praise God that you're here with us today. Our online presence is increasing. I don't know whether our congregation realizes that, but we are beginning to see a tick up in folks who are attending to our church via the internet, and we welcome you. We want you to know that we are here lifting you in prayer, that we are also asking you to lift us in prayer. Amen, church? Because together, we are the church of Jesus Christ, and in that, we will go in our day. Last week, I alluded to where I would be going this week. So turn in your Bibles. We're going to be looking at God or evil, test or tempt. And that comes to us from the book of James, as I said last week. So as we look at the book of James, it's coming to an understanding, especially here during this season of Lent, which is to be a time of reflection, a time of looking back at our lives and preparing for the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Now, we've already received a resurrection. Can I get an amen from the church? And in that resurrection, we have hope. But we still look back and we remember where we've come from and where we are going. And in that remembering, we also see the goodness of God and how he has brought us thus far. And that's one of the things I want us to look at, because when we're looking at ourselves and we're thinking about what's going on, we're all human. How many of you here are not human? Okay, no hands went up. Whew. I was hoping that that one would go out there like that. But the reality is, as human beings, what do we like to do? We like to point fingers at other people, okay? As a pastor, one of the things that I am most fond of is when I'm counseling with people, especially for the first 6 months to 2 years. And yes, it does take that long. Whenever we're counseling with somebody, they'll look at me and they say, yeah, but. And it takes a while for me to get them over their butt. Because there's only one butt and we're all sitting on it right now. The reality is, we're our own problem. Can I get an amen? Because we're all messed up. That includes this guy standing up here. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I don't like what I do, so I change. I try harder, all right? And in that trying, it's understanding that some things come my way. And, you know, hey, I'm a human being, Miss Susan. How many times do you think I blame God for stuff that happens? She says, I'm not touching that one, Pastor. That's between you and him. And that's the truth of it. We get angry and we look at God and, well, why did you do this to me? Folks, that's not the way it works. God is not the guy up there sending down all this stuff. He told us that if we sin, these things are going to happen. Because sin creates evil. And we walk in a world that's evil because people sin daily. And there is evil out there perpetuating it unto chaos. And we need to understand that as we're reevaluating our lives, as we're walking through Lent, what's going on? Let's look at the Word of God. Because again, God gives us the words of life. From the 13th verse of the first chapter of the book of James, let us read the word of the Lord. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then, when lust has conceived, It gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Understanding this process is something that each and every one of us needs to realize. God does not tempt us. God cannot tempt us. But what does God do? What does God allow to come into our lives? God allows testing to come into our lives. And that testing takes various forms for various people. Now, I want you to think about what's the difference between testing and tempting. Tempting is unto evil. Testing is unto righteousness. Okay? So God's going to test us so he can prove to himself that we're good. Wrong. No, it has nothing to do with God proving to himself. God already knows the outcome of the test. So therefore, there's got to be another direction that the test is going. Because a tempting is directed correctly at us, okay? And when I say correctly, because we are inviting the evil. When tempting comes, didn't we just read that? That when we have been enticed by our own lusts, and I have to explain that word, because many people today, you hear the word lust, especially in our society today, what do we think of when I say lust? We think of sexual things because that's where lust goes. Folks, some of you lust for chocolate cake. Some of you lust for pizza. Some of you lust for fame. Lust is simply the desire of one's heart so far over something that it's unbalanced. Okay? It's putting such an emphasis on a thing that you want it more than you want God in your life. So God is going to allow these things to come so that we can find ourselves in him and walking with him. What do I mean? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. Let a finger there because we got a lot more to read there. But I want you to turn back in Genesis, and we are going to be in chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Oh, is it 22? Oh, it's Genesis 22. Sorry about that. Yeah, a little bit back further. We don't want to deal with Adam and Eve. We want to deal with Abraham. Genesis 22. Because if you notice, I am not using notes. I have not used notes for 3 weeks. I am doing something a little different. The Lord's doing something a little different in me. And I think it's kind of awesome. Everything is in here. Everything is in here. Everything is in here. From 22, we're going to read 1 through 3. It says, now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. How many of us, when we're getting ready to go into something and we hear our name called out, say, here am I? Do you make yourself available to where God would have you, or do you make yourself available to where you want to be? That's the first test. How many of us hear God speak our names? The amazing thing is, he speaks your name all the time. If you're walking with him, he's speaking directly to you at every moment of your day. The question that we need to understand is, are we willing to hear him and answer? The gentleman that Mitch spoke of here this morning, I had no idea he was going to lay that illustration in my lap. He was not in a mood. He couldn't get out of the parking area, had to go to the kiosk. How many of us have been happy about that? I just want to get out of here. I've been on this plane. I've been doing all this stuff. I just want to go home. But he heard that still small whisper. And he said, here I am, Lord. And look what happened. Look what happened. A heart was changed and a soul was saved. It's that simple. Did he pass the test? Yes, he did. Are we ready to even take the test? Abraham said, here I am, Lord. Was he ready to take the test? Let's read the test. And God said, take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah. and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Now, many of us read this story because there's a whole lot more to the story, and we know the story if we've been in the Bible, that God takes him to that Mount Moriah, which is now where the temple stands in Israel, and he had him go up on that mount, and he had him offer his son up as a sacrifice. But before he could sacrifice his son, God stopped him, and God provided on that mountain. Now, we read that story and we say, oh, okay. So God was testing Abraham. God was testing him to see if he would go through with this. No, he wasn't testing Abraham to see if he would go through with it. He already knew Abraham would go through with it. What God was allowing was Abraham to test his own faith. But Abraham wasn't the only one being tested there. How do we know that? Because Isaac was with him. Isaac was a young man. He wasn't some young punk that had no idea what was going on. He wasn't this little kid that was unaware. He was a young man at this time. And his father told him they were going to do this. And his son asked, "Where's the lamb?" "He's carrying the wood. Dad's got a knife." He understood full well what was happening. You see, God used this test not only for Abraham, but he used this test for Isaac. And there are many times we don't understand that when God is testing us, there are other people involved in this test. There are other lives that what we do are going to directly correlate with what someone else is going to do. So it's a test for us. It's not a test for God. It's a test for us to see whether or not do I believe that what I believe is really real is really real. We all went through a study on that. How many of you remember that? And I think it's something that we need to do again because we've got a lot of new people, Pastor David. Might be something you and I need to talk about. Going back into that study and understanding that what I believe, if I don't think it's real, am I going to do what God asked me to do? Am I going to go that nth degree? And looking at Lent and understanding that God has brought us through a bunch of stuff. How many of you got stuff that God brought you through? How many of you are in that stuff right now? Yeah, it's called life. And every day has its own difficulties. That's why we're not supposed to worry about tomorrow. Because we can't do anything about what tomorrow brings. We can barely get enough of today taken care of. Man, am I Dutch or what? When we understand what God's doing here, the rest of what he tells us in the book of James starts to now make sense. Because when he takes us into the book of James, flip back. It's understanding that the rest of this is built off of that pretext. That God is not tempting us. God is allowing us to work out our faith with fear and trembling. What do we call that in the Christian church? What do we call it? You all know, if you've been with me any length of time, it's two words. It begins with a P and an S. What is it? Man, there's a good church if I did hear one. Because we are all a work in progress, okay? Not a work in process. Process can be static. Progress means you're moving forward. How many of us are moving forward? Amen. We are moving forward. Some of us a little slower than others, but that's okay. God works with us where we are to get us to where we need to be. Okay, he's in no hurry. He has all eternity, Miss Susan. Isn't that awesome? It is awesome. And if he needs your hair to turn white until you get all this stuff, praise be to Jesus, you got it somewhere along the way. But he's not going to give up on us. He's going to continue bringing us forward into this because he wants us to understand. From verse 6, he says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." Let's stop there. Let's dwell there for just a moment. Because you see, we look at some of this stuff and we think it's darkness. But God wants us to realize, no, it's light. God has given us the answers to the questions of life, but are we going to apply the light? We have spoken about the light and the darkness. There's only two things in this world, light and darkness. Are we going to allow the darkness to overcome us, and are we going to become the victim, or are we going to realize that we're walking in the light and God already has an answer for this thing that we're going through? We just have to be able to be willing and able to work within our being to bring forth the manifestation of God within our own lives. Wait a minute, Pastor. How can I bring forth the manifestation of God in my life? He dwells in you. He's right here. Are you going to turn to him and say, "Here I am, Lord"? Do you see how it corresponds now? Or are you going to go at yourself? Because if you go at yourself, you got to go in your strength. How far is that going to get us? We get scared. Okay? We get scared. We fall down and we can't get up and we got to call for help. Well, the Holy Spirit's right here to help us, and just all we have to do for many of us is just swallow our own pride and say, "God, where are you leading me?" And then smile and look. Because God gives us good gifts. He's not shifting shadows. He's not hiding himself. He's walking in the full light of day. Because that's who he is. And when we turn to him and say, "I'm not going to be afraid of this thing, but I'm going to accept it for where it is, and I'm going to walk into it," because God's got a plan and God's got a purpose. How many of you know God's got a plan and God's got a purpose? And guess what? His plan and his purpose includes you. You're already there. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you are in Christ Jesus, he has a destination in mind for you, but now he's got to work with you to get you there. And that's going to take some time. So it's understanding that as these things come, they may look like darkness, but God means it for light. Remember Romans? What does Romans say? In the book of Romans, it says, "To those who love him, God worketh all things to good, according to his will and his purpose." Because you see, it's not about God growing, it's about us growing. And it's about us being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Okay? If you notice the shirt I'm wearing today, it's planned, it's on purpose, because the only way we're going to understand these things is to get into this thing called the Bible, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Because as we take this instruction into ourselves, the Holy Spirit then can bring it back to us and remind us of what he has said and what he has taught us. And what he has said and what he has taught us, what does it do? From verse 18, "In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures." Stop there for a moment. How many of us think that's talking about creation? Wrong chicken. It's not. It's talking about regeneration. How did he bring us forth? Through the word of truth. In the book of John, "In the beginning was the word," and excuse me, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God." Okay? Is God. We came forth through the Word of truth. We were living in lies. We were living in deception. We were living in sin. Christ came, and now we are kind of first fruits among his creatures because we have received that regeneration. We have been born again. And in that regeneration, we have the knowledge of Jesus Christ, who has brought to us all new things. The old is gone and the new has come. And therefore, we must turn from the old ways of thinking and we must turn to the new ways of thinking. And those new ways of thinking are going to teach us that God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? I hate to tell you this, your own mind. And you know evil is going to try to get you to put that stuff in your mind. So it's turning to the Lord. It's looking at that light. It's understanding that God has something good to come out of this. Because how many of us need, and I hate to say this, but I it has to happen to me. I'm a man, and I'll tell you what, if I'm left to my own druthers, my head would get so big nobody could stand me. And God has to humble me. And you know, I think it's something that every pastor needs. Because we're the ones that stand up front here and talk to all of you, and we can feel like we're all that important, can't we? We can look like, oh, man, I got it all together. I'll guarantee you right now, there's one human being in every church that knows the pastor doesn't have it right. And that's called his spouse. The hardest person to preach to in a church is the pastor's wife. And believe me, I hear about it when I get home, Miss Susan. And we need to understand, God wants to have that same conversation with us, looking at us and saying, it's okay, let's learn from this thing. What do I have planned for you? Where do I need you to go? We were brought through this word of truth. Let us turn to the word of truth. Rather than the word of lies that's going to speak to us and say, oh, God's coming after you. No, if God is for us, who can be against us? We know who it is. He's the evil one, and we need to walk away from him. For this you know, my brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. God is warning us. If the things that come our way turn our hearts to anger, turn our hearts to wrath, where are we going to go with this thing? We're going to go into darkness. God wants us to be slow to move, all right? Quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Because when we slow down and we begin to weigh the elements out, test the spirits, we begin to receive from him the knowledge of light and darkness, that we can walk into the light and see this is for us to find the goodness. This is for the purification of my faith, that God is allowing me to walk through this trial. He is allowing me to walk through this test because in it, he's going to prove himself faithful. He's not proving you. You're proving yourself by trusting him and walking in him and allowing the goodness of God to come out of you, okay? God does not tempt us. God will allow us to be tested. And in that test, folks, he's already got the test graded. He graded it on the cross. He took the penalty for our sins. We don't ever have to worry about that. Can I get a praise God out of somebody in the house today? Be the children of light that we need to be. Let us walk into this truth, understanding God has a way where there seems to be no way. But in that way, may we be found. Okay? For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. So in other words, instead of blaming it on God and getting angry with God, let us turn to the Holy Spirit through the work of progressive sanctification, and let us pick up what we know of the word of God. Now, I'm going to ask you all a question. How many of you know this thing inside out, backwards, forwards, upside down, and in 15 different languages? Good, neither do I. Just wanted to make sure I wasn't the worst one here. Because I've got to live this thing. And so do you. And guess where he lives? Inside us. And he says, I will remind you of all things. So as we're going through this stuff, reflect on what he has said. Again, he has brought us forth from the word of life, the word of truth. So that word is implanted in us, and we just simply need to accept it and walk in it. I want you to think about Abraham. I want you to think about Isaac. Did Isaac trust his dad? Yeah, how many young men trust their dads, okay? Just yesterday, I was down at Russell's, and it's kind of cool because, you know, Russell's in his 30s now, and he asked my opinion. How many of you have teenagers, they want your opinion? That's an abnormality, Miss Amy. What's that? Oh, your grandchildren. Yeah, because they don't trust mom and dad. 36 years old, and my son asked my opinion. He wants to know what dad thinks. And then I'm sitting there at the table, and my little grandson looks at me and says, Pappy, and he's standing on the chair, and he just jumps. Pappy ain't as quick as he used to be. But I'll guarantee you, in that moment, Pappy jumps. Because that little boy needs to know that he can trust Pappy. How many of us are willing to jump into the arms of God when we can't see where it's leading? Let me tell you a story. Little four-year-old boy, terminal cancer. Dad didn't have any answers for him. Dad had no answers. He saw too many people die from cancer. Little boy asked, am I going to die? Dad was smart enough to say, I don't know. Didn't say no. He said, I don't know. But then God moved in Dad's heart. And Dad said, but I know somebody who does. And the little boy listened. That little boy now is 36. He's given his dad three grandchildren. And I am so proud of the father he's become. Because he listened to his heavenly father and walked with him for these last 32 years. You all know I'm talking about my own son. But you see, that's why Russell asked my opinion now. Because he knows I don't always have the answers. But he knows I follow somebody that does. And he's never let me down. Now, is there going to come a day when it seems like I've been defeated because we all die, amen? But is that not our goal in Christ Jesus to pass from this earth and be unto the next? Because there is our glory. Our glory is not in this world. Our glory is not to live unto the age of 1,000. You know, I think that's funny because right now, isn't that one of the things you're seeing on TV, watching on the internet? They're trying to devise ways to get people to live longer. And oh, we can take your consciousness and implant it into a computer and you can literally live forever. Brothers and sisters, that's not to live. For in that, you are dependent upon other things and you are existentially no longer human. But to live in Christ Jesus is to be human forever and finally, truly human. Because there's only one human being, and that is God himself. The rest of us are a work in progress. We're trying to get there. And that's what this entire scripture is about. It's showing us the way to get there, that we're to put aside all these things, continue working in our progressive sanctification, and rely on the word which has been implanted upon us that is capable of saving our very souls. Can I get an amen? And as we walk in that, other people are going to see what's happening in our lives. And we're going to bring them into the testing as well. Because as we're going through the tests and we're walking and we're obedient to God, all of a sudden that one becomes three. And that amazed me. Because it didn't become two. It became three. Because there was another soul that was the one who was actually being the one to have their life demanded. So out of one conversation, two souls were saved. And are we going to walk in that truth? Are we going to look at what's happening around us and remember that The fact that the parking meter's not working is not a temptation unto sin, but it may be an open door to a test unto the salvation of our very souls. And are we going to walk into that saying, what's next, God? You know, how many of us are going to go out here and we're going to turn right on a red light because we're allowed to turn right on a red light, and all of a sudden we get a ticket because somebody took a picture of us in one of those cameras, and now we got to go to jail or up to the judge and talk to him about this thing, and we're all upset because it took time, it took this, it takes that. Well, guess what? Evil wants to take and take and take and take. God wants to use those circumstances, no matter what they may be, as stupid as they may seem, and he wants to make them building blocks of your faith. But that means you have to hear his small voice. Here I am, Lord. Use me. And it's remembering that as we're walking this season of Lent and we're looking back and we're thinking, oh man, I screwed up there. Oh man, I screwed up there. Yeah, but you're here now. You're here now. What are you going to do the next time? How many of you know there's going to be a next time? Amen. Because remember, it's called progressive sanctification. And God wants us to go until we get it right. And even after we've got, how many of you know when you get it right, God still allows the test to come back? Doesn't he? Doesn't he? Yeah, he does. Because he knows we need the test. He knows we need the test, because it's that test that allows us to walk in the confidence of our Lord. For once we have found out that he is faithful, the next time we come into that situation, we are much less likely to turn to the evil, to turn to the darkness, and we're much more likely to walk in the light and be the truth, because we're anticipating, what's he going to do this time? Rather than, woe is me. The answer should be, okay, Lord, why not me? But let's see who else this affects, because it almost always affects someone else. So it's the building up of your life, but it's also the building up of others. But in that, may we remember these last portions, because I love this. Many people speak this, but they kind of get it out of context. From verse 22. He says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. We are sinners saved by grace. Amen. But how many of us get out there in the world, and we know that, we look in the mirror, we say that, we're in church, we say that, but how many of us get out there in the world, and as soon as something comes up against us, our righteous indignation flies up? And we forget we're fallen people. We forget we're broken people. We forget we have issues. I mean, how many issues come our way because somebody else is having a bad day? All right? I really want you to think about this. You know, a lot of instances in my life, I don't bring them on, but they come at me full force. And I need to understand that woman that, you know, I'm at the grocery store and I'm checking out and she's barking at me. Well, you know, the guy that was there before me may have just chewed her out. I don't know. Maybe she had a bad night. You know, maybe her little kid was up until 2 o'clock in the morning and she didn't get any sleep. I have no idea. So why do I want to pay evil for evil? I don't. We need to walk as children of light. We need to remember what we've just seen, what we've just heard, and how it has affected us, lest we forget who we are and try to put on a druther, that we're something other. And we can never live up to that something other. But when we realize we're fallen, we're broken, we've had bad days, and when somebody growls at us, we look at them, we smile, and we say, are you okay? Has it been a tough day? You look like you need a hug. How many of you are willing to ask a stranger, you look like you need a hug? Do you know how much a hug can cure? Do you know how much a hug can cure? Now, I'll guarantee you, You're going to ask some people for a hug and they're going to put fists up and say, over my dead body. You know to back off, right? But when you put that invitation out and they walk into it, walk with these people. Understand, it's not all about you. God wants you to be involved in the life you're living. That's an abundant life when we get involved with others. I mean, it's like right now, I don't know whether any of you others saw it, but we were singing up here, and I know somebody needs a touch in their body right now. Miss Dottie, how's your headache? Not good. Elders, come up here. I've been watching her. She's been putting her hand in her head and just sitting here not smiling. Let me get in there. That way I don't have to reach over the chair to anoint this young lady. Church, reach out. Oh, gracious Lord our God. We reach out on behalf of this dear sister. For Lord God, we know she's plagued by these terrible headaches. And Lord, we want them to go away forever, forever, in the name of Jesus Christ. Because Lord, the evil one, he pours it on. And sometimes our bodies need a little bit of help. But you are the great physician. So we call on you this day in the midst of this service. For Lord, we know there are times we need to move and just be the light of Jesus Christ, even in the midst of our being. So Lord, we, the church, call it out. Bring relief, O Lord. Bring peace. Bring quiet. Take the pain away and restore health and healing unto your daughter who is our sister in Christ Jesus. And the church says,
amen.
And amen. We'll get that later. Oh, it fell back a pew. My cork fell. I popped the cork and it went flying. It's that easy. It's seeing something and saying, here I am. Sometimes words don't need to be spoken, and we know, don't we? And that's what I'm talking about. It's understanding his ways. Seeing when someone else is there. Because we all know what pain looks like. We all know what hurt looks like. But are we willing to see it and move? Or are we going to forget what we've seen and therefore negate our very selves? But anyone who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectful doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. You and I need to understand, God is talking to us here, that in the midst of this test, in the midst of this thing, we can either be tempted by it and we will fall to sin because our lusts overpower us, or we submit ourselves to our lusts, or we are going to see the power of the Holy Spirit, recognize the fact that we've been changed by the word of truth, the word of light, the power of being, and we are going to walk in that way. That is to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer, but a doer of the word in all that we are and all that we have. Because as we do, God therefore will bless what we do. Okay? It's not about us. God's not blessing us. It's about being blessed because of what we have done. Others may receive the blessing. And are we willing to allow that blessing to come? Isaac was blessed by what Abraham did because he was the next generation to bring forth the children of Israel. But he had testing to go through in his life, and it started right there on Mount Moriah. And it's understanding we're going to have our Mount Moriah moments. And are we going to succeed in those Mount Moriah moments? And another thing I want us to do, because this is during Lent and it's all about reflection, I want you to look back. And how many of us can remember where we failed? Well, we can all remember where we failed. But are we going to allow that to be a deterrent for us? Or are we going to allow that to become now the light to see, oh, I missed an opportunity, and then take the next one? Because I'm going to tell you right now, how many of us are going to fail tomorrow? I hate to tell you this. Some of you are going to fail before you get out of the parking lot, especially if you have kids. And God says, it's okay. There's going to be a next time. Let's work at it. We're a work in progress. And it's remembering, God doesn't pass or fail. God says, you're already covered. If you're in Christ Jesus, you're getting through to the other side. You have already graduated. You just got to work it out between now and that day. And how much victory you see depends on how well you work it out. And that to me is the awesome thing, because my victory also means there are other victors. I want you to look around. Y'all do understand that you are my victory. Each and every one of you that's sitting under my voice today, I can't claim that. I can't claim it. All I can say is, Lord, you've put me to the test and I've spoken your truth. And it's not about me, because it's about the lives that are listening and are practicing the very things that you've taught me. It's about you, Lord. And he says, yes, now you're getting it. It is about me. I want to use you to the betterment of others because of the betterment that you have in you, because you've accepted me. And together you become a family. Together you become a household. Together you become an army that can't be stopped. And together we will receive glory in heaven. And what are we going to do with all that glory when we get to heaven? We're going to cast it at his feet. Every one of us will cast our crowns at his feet and say, Lord God, we didn't do this. You did. And he's going to say to us, no, my child, you did this because you loved me. Come, come, sit at the table and sup with me. And we will sup with him for all eternity. Amen? Good or God versus evil? Testing versus tempting. We get to determine which side we're going to go on. I pray we choose the good side. Cast out the evil. Cast out the temptation. May we walk with God, and may we pass the test, that others may be as affected as we are, because it almost always involves others. Blessed be the word of the Lord. Receive it this day. In your trials, in your temptations, walk with God and shun evil. Can I get an amen? Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your righteousness, as this last word tells us. May we keep ourselves upright with you, and may we walk in your ways all the days of our lives. May we see the truth of where we are, walking in trial. And in that trial, Lord, you've already given us the victory. So may we choose the good, choose you, and walk therein. For you have all hope wrapped up in Christ Jesus, who is our Lord. And there is no disappointing in the hope that we have. We ask that you would bless all those that we come in contact this week. And Lord, may we truly emulate the light and pass the test, that others too may see the light and pass the test. In Christ Jesus, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.